We're in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 14 today. Colossians chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 14. Of course, we're in a long section here where Paul has been talking about his prayers for these Christians at Colossae. And as he talked about what he prayed for in their behalf, he said in verse 13 that they had been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then in verse 14 he says, in whom, that is, in his dear Son, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So these people were in Christ. They were in the kingdom. They were in the church. And all three of those are references to the same spiritual state. That means that these people had gone from being in sin to now being in Christ, in the kingdom, in the church. And he says that we have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption in him. Now, it's important to remember that as we stressed at the very beginning of our studies, that a major theme, if not the theme, in the book of Colossians, is that Jesus, as Christ, is the head of the church. And so there is a major stress on Jesus Christ in the book of Colossians. And that fits into the warning that he gives in chapter 2, because in Colossians chapter 2, he warns about those false teachers. And he said, you have to follow Jesus, not men. You have to hold to the head, which is Christ. Because no man and no group of men can be the head of the church. Jesus is. And so now Paul is beginning to really stress that theme. We're in the kingdom of his dear Son, verse 13. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, verse 14. And then beginning in verse 15, Paul describes who Jesus is in great detail. Now, we're going to slow down and look at these verses that follow, verses 15 through 18, and we're going to notice who Jesus is and who Jesus is not. We're going to talk about what these verses mean and what they do not mean. So let's get started here in verse 15. He says, who, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 18, and this is a great commentary on what Paul is talking about here, that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No man can see God. No man has seen God. But Jesus came, and as Jesus told Philip and the other disciples, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Not physically, because the disciples didn't see God in a physical sense, but they saw the attributes of God. They saw the love and the power and the wisdom of God and these other virtues of God in Jesus Christ. Now, another great passage besides John 1:18 and the one that we just referred to, which is John 14, verse 9, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, in talking about Jesus, and that would be a great complimentary book to read side by side with the book of Colossians, because Hebrews stresses that Jesus is the great high priest. And in Hebrews chapter 1, the point is that Jesus is greater than the angels. And so, as that book begins in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says that Jesus is the express image of his person, that is, the person of God. And that simply means that Jesus is the very essence of the character of God. So all that helps us to understand what he's talking about here in Colossians 1 verse 15 when he says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now look at the last part of verse 15. He is the firstborn of every creature. We're really going to have to look at that in detail because that is often misunderstood and it is often misused by people today. What does the Bible mean here when Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature? Well, the Bible does not mean here, and the scriptures never teach, that Jesus was created. He is not a created being. We know that because the Bible shows that Jesus is eternal. Now, if you'll look down at verse 17, in this very context, Paul shows that he's not saying that Jesus was the first being that was ever created. That is not what Colossians 1 verse 15 means. There are religious people that teach that, but that's not the meaning. If you'll look at verse 17, Paul said, "And he is before all things." Well, if he's before all things, then that means that he has to be eternal, because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that he would be called, because he is, the everlasting Father. And in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says that Jesus' goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. So the Bible teaches that Jesus is eternal, and the only one that is eternal is God or deity. So what does this mean then when Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature? I think a lot of the misunderstanding about this centers on the word first. Because when we see the word first, sometimes we assume that that means first in time. In other words, first in sequence, as being in contrast to second or third or fourth. Now, sometimes in the Bible, the word first means first as opposed to second or third or fourth. But sometimes in the Bible, the word first has to do with importance. It means first in rank or first in significance. For instance, when the Jews came to Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and they said, "Which is the first commandment of all?" They're not asking which was the first commandment in time that God ever gave. They're talking about which one is first, at the top, the most important. That's the meaning of the word first there. And so what we find in the Bible is that the word first, even when it's combined with another word, like here, firstborn, has to do with rank. It has to do with importance, not time. For instance, in James chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, that simply means that Christians are at the top. We, as Christians, are so important that the Bible calls us first fruits. Back in the Old Testament, when the Jews brought their first fruits, that had to do with the best that they had to offer. And so, we are that important in the sight of God. In Romans 8, verse 23, the Bible says that the apostles had the first fruits of the Spirit. Well, the apostles were not the first ones in the Bible that were led by the Holy Spirit, that had the Holy Spirit, or even worked miracles by the Holy Ghost. But they had the first fruits of the Spirit in the sense that the power and the degree of the activity of the Holy Spirit was first or at the very top in importance in their lives. And so when the Bible says here that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature, that is a figurative expression. And it simply means that Jesus is supreme. It denotes the supremacy of Jesus in comparison to everything else. And you'll find that same expression in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. By the way, before we leave this point, remember that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, "I am the first and the last." Now, does that mean that he was the first one created and the last one that will ever be created? Obviously not. That cannot be in terms of time. He must be talking about the word first there in terms of his importance. Now then, let's move on to verse 16. Paul said, "For by him were all things created." Now again, I'm going to go back to John chapter 1, because this is exactly what John the Apostle said about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Notice what he said, John 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So there's nothing left out. Jesus is the source of creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now, what would that include? Well, the visible, of course, would be the material. That would be the physical, the earthly. The invisible would be the spiritual things that Jesus has created. And what would that include? Well, among other things, that would include the angels. So this entirely does away with the idea that some people believe and teach today that Jesus was an angel. He was not an angel. Angels were created. Jesus created the angels. Jesus cannot be an angel. And this is what we're seeing here in Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And notice verse 17, and He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Now that's very important. Not only does the Bible teach that Jesus created everything, but it also teaches that Jesus sustains everything. He didn't just make everything, but He maintains the whole universe. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that He upholds all things by the word of His power. And so all of this focuses on Jesus Christ. What Paul is doing here is causing these Colossians and causing us today to realize just how great Jesus is and to see His position, His lordship. And as he does that, he explains that Jesus is not simply the Savior, He is the Creator. And so God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son were all involved in the creation. But sometimes when we talk about the creation, people leave Jesus out of it, and the Bible shows, especially in the New Testament, that Jesus was involved in that He made all things. Then in verse 18, Paul said, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. That is, He is the beginning source. He is the source of all creation. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. Now, here again, we see that word firstborn. And that doesn't mean the first in time to rise from the dead. Jesus was not the first to come back to life, that is, to come back from the grave after He died. But He is the highest one because He triumphed over death in a way that others didn't. Others were raised from the dead by the power of God, but Jesus rose from the dead to die no more. He ascended back up into heaven. And the Bible says that He triumphed over the grave in that sense. And not only that, but the Bible shows that when Jesus returns, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that when Jesus comes again, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Why? Because Jesus is at the head. Jesus has that power. So again, the idea of first here is not the idea of time. It's the idea of authority. It's the idea of rank over the dead, and over death, so that in all things, he says, he might have the preeminence. That's Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18.